If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to share some things this morning. Something that we read, and I read this to you a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned it was written by a great minister from China, Watchman Nee, and he said this: the body of Christ is not only universal, it's local. In other words, we are a body of Christ. We are part of a global body, but it breaks down into the local level, just like government, into the local level. I mean, you and I, we've got to make sure that when we have local city, I don't care how small your city is. My town, the population is 1,300. We were coming through, where were we at yesterday? I forgot what town we were at yesterday. Some town. Anyway, some town I was at yesterday, it was 3,400. And so a lot of people, when you're in small towns, you think, well, politics, that's good old boy stuff. I don't care what it is. You get involved in that stuff. You get involved in city council. There was a school issue in the city of Greenville, South Carolina. The school board was basically doing things against the Word of God. And it was a higher level. It was school board. And so a pastor at a church in Greenville, South Carolina, Ron Carpenter Jr., he got up in his pulpit one day and just basically said, well, here's what's going on in our city. And some of you, God is speaking to rise up and be school board members. Well, in that city, he finally had one of his members, or several of his members, rise up. And some of them got voted in by one vote. I mean, it was only one vote that was the deciding vote. A lot of school boards only get voted in by like 3 and 4 people because nobody thinks about voting for school board. But like in Quinlan lets the gospel into the schools. And so now they have to be careful because they don't want to shut that down by raising so much alarm. You got to be sly. You got to be keen. Okay, so some people want to go and evangelize by cracking skulls and kicking tail and taking names, but that's not how you do it. That's not how you do it. That's how you do it if you have one shot, but when you want to go long term, you act like you go long term. And so anyhow, so it's important that we understand that things start at a local level, and so does the kingdom of God for the individual. It goes to the individual churches as well. So the body of Christ is not just universal only, it's also local. Every church is the manifestation of the body of Christ in that locality. All of the riches of Christ are vested in the local church. The authority of the head is vested in the local expression of the body. Apostles and elders in the local church are representative members of the body, but they are not the body. The entire company of believers is a locality, not just a section of the believers. Constitutes the church in that locality. The church is not one member. It represents the whole body in a locality. Hence, when we touch the local church, we touch the body of Christ. Participating in the fellowship of the local church is participating in the fellowship of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not something abstract or unfathomable. The body of Christ is manifest in the local churches. Anyone who wants to live in the body in a particular way has to be in local churches. He should fellowship with the local saints, be edified in the local church, and be built up together in mutuality. You know, I was at a leadership conference earlier this year during the kids' spring break in Tulsa, and Pastor Bob Yandian, he talked a little bit about revival in the church. He said that the end result of revival in a church should be local church. And what he meant by that is this. He said to stay, he said the word revive, it means to vive again. Is that correct? So we all know that revive means you were once vived, now we're going to be revived. Does that make sense? Now, to revive should get us on fire, and then the fruit of some reviving should be us going and witnessing. Now, I know that some denominations, revival means soul winning. No, it includes soul winning, but it doesn't just mean new converts. It means those who have been in the body of Christ before get the paddles on, charge up the jewels, and boom, and get a jump start. That's what revival. And so, can we stay in a perpetual place of revival? Not necessarily, because there has to be discipleship. And so, you could stay on fire, And God wants us, to stay full. Full of the Word, full of the Holy Ghost, full of excitement about who you are, what Jesus did in our lives, and go and tell other people about that. But remember, when we have babies, to have a baby and leave them and never nourish them and help them to grow, it's called an orphan. So God never called us to make orphans. He called us to make what?
Disciples.
That's exactly right. So revival should put a great focus on discipleship. And where should discipleship happen at the local level? It should happen in the local house of God. Now, that's not the only place, but as far as the place where we do it all together, it's called the local body of Christ. So we should all be growing up in a local body. Is that right?
Yes.
All right, good. Just making sure I'm on the right page there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Now I'm not going to start at verse 1 because verse 1 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. All right? But let's go to jump all the way to verse 12. And it says here, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ." So in other words, all of you as members, we are one body, and we are the body of Christ. And so you and I, we can't, well, let's go on here. Verse 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." So we're a local body, we have many members. "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" You know, every part of our physical body has a function. It has a purpose. You know, we look at our hands and we look at our thumbs. And you know, our thumb, it's basically the shortest finger. It's definitely not the skinniest. And some are fatter than others, by the way. And so I had an uncle. I forgot what his real name was. They just called him Uncle Boy when I was growing up. He lives in Canada. And I'll never forget, I almost freaked out. I don't freak out. I never freak out. But I almost did when I shook his hand when I was maybe 4 or 5 years old, something like that. Because as I went to go shake his hand, not only did the five fingers come down to shake my hand, but there was a second thumb right about right here that leaned in on me and touched my hand. And so you understand why I freaked out. So anyway, and so I don't know if you'll ever hear this CD, but you know. So anyway, but my thumbs, if you didn't have a thumb, you couldn't hold a rake. You couldn't hold many things. You can hold your spoon. I mean, try that. Try folding your thumb under and then eat your food. Get some, maybe, how are you going to hold a chicken leg? You know, holding a chicken leg is very, very important business. You know what I'm saying? And so how about a steak knife? You know, we had a good steak the other night. What are you going to do? Hold it between your fingers here and do that right there. And so you don't realize how important something very small really is. You know, back in the Bible day, starting back then, whenever they would capture a king, and a lot of times the generals also, after they would win a battle, they would cut off four things. They would cut off two thumbs and two big toes. Now, the reason why is because if you cut off their thumbs, they'll never hold a sword or any kind of weapon ever again. And number two, if you cut off their toes, they ain't really going to run real fast anywhere. They're not going anywhere fast. Because if you ever tried to run and your toes hurting, let me tell you something, you really ain't going a whole lot of places. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a study on feet right now. Everybody want to show me your feet? No, just kidding. Don't do that. A little scary. Keiza, she's been going to this, I can't talk about that. Anyhow, if y'all know Keiza's hairdresser, y'all know what I was going to say. But anyway, she's real pretty. I mean, she's real pretty and stuff. Just don't look at her feet. Anyway, and so again, we have to realize that you can look at your body and see things that may not look real purposeful, but they are. Now, you can look around in this room. And you may say, oh, well, I don't know if I'm real purposeful. What purpose can I have or what purpose can I do? Listen, if you think you don't have a purpose in the local body, you're mistaken. there are things that are missing when people aren't in their place. Let me quote Valerie a second ago. I'm so glad when you said this. We are put in a spot or a church on a mission. We're put in a place on a mission. You and I are put in this place on a mission. We have a purpose for being a part of the local body of Christ. Let's go back to verse 14 here. So, for in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Who set y'all in here? God has set. Let me read that verse in the Amplified. This is verse 18 in the Amplified. But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and the organs in the body, each particular one of them, just as He wished and saw fit and with the best adaptation. In other words, you and I, God put you in this place because He saw that there is something that you are, something that you have, something that you know that will solve a problem, that will be a benefit, that will be a strength for this local body of Christ. Now, again, a lot of people look and say, we only look at what the hands do. We only look at what maybe the ears do. You think about your ears are vital. No, your nose is vital. Your eyes are vital. They're vital parts of our bodies. They're vital parts of who we are. And so we got to have those. And if we don't have those, man, we're a mess. Well, I'll be honest with you. Let's talk to Helen Keller about what you have and what you don't have. You know, I think she might say if you didn't have hands, you're a mess. You know what I'm saying? So the perspective that you come in with might be different than what we realize. And so you may see yourself as somebody not important or you don't have much to offer the local body, but why don't you ask somebody else what they think? Because they see you and they hear the words that come out of your mouth and they think, oh man, I need a person like you praying for me. Or man, I need your phone number because you're very encouraging. Or you know what? You are so good. When you come in, you straighten that chair every time. You always notice that chair is out of place. I appreciate that. You know, that's a pet peeve of mine because my kids, I straighten the chair. By the time I get here on Sunday morning, I have probably straightened chairs up for at least 3 days during the week, just making sure and not liking how it looked. And then on Sunday mornings, my kids come in and blow through here, and I'm trying to get them to clean up their messes, re-straighten the chairs. And then, you know, it's all kind of crazy. So I'm telling you, when someone comes in and without even saying anything, they'll walk in, they'll pick something up. Or, you know, we had a school staff meeting the other day, last Monday, and one of the things that was a pet peeve, you know, our administrator will do walkthroughs with new parents. And so, you know, they're walking, show them the buildings, and all of a sudden, somebody has left a sweatshirt right on the ground. And like three teachers may have passed it by, and it's still sitting right there. Or, you know, one of my pet peeves is when you step over a piece of trash in a place that you're part of the dominion. And I'm like, wait. Now, I can't treat people like I would treat somebody I'm training, per se. But yeah, when I used to work at Bible school, I'd back them up. I just, you know, kid don't even know I'm watching them. Hey, whoa, hey, boy, what just happened right here? And they're looking at me, what just happened right here? I said, well, what did you just walk over? What happened? Did you not see that? I mean, you tried to avoid that. This is the part of the kingdom of God. We all want it to look good. And so people have different ways of doing things. You know, I appreciate Valerie. You know, Valerie first saw, I don't know how long it was when you were coming in, and Valerie realized that it was bland in here. No decor whatsoever. And her mind started working. And so if you see anything pretty in here, you automatically, just FYI, Valerie did it. And so then Valerie's daughter realized how tough this back end looked, and so she helped to inspire us to get this done. And then of course, your husband also inspired us in the kids' room to get I mean, it's just amazing how fun. I didn't do any of the work in the room next door when they were doing all that. It was Paul, and it was Willis, and it was Kayla, and we had Lexus was there, and you were there also, right? And so we had folk that were, I mean, all the people that were, you know why? They saw that they could do it, and some of them realized they could do it better than me. And that's all that matters. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And so there are parts of the house that you are necessary, and to back off and say, well, I really don't have a place. I had a lady one time, probably every month, she goes, Pastor Michael, I need something to do. I need something to do. And I'm thinking, I got better things to do than to try to figure out what you can do. You know, one of my favorite pastors, Tommy Barnett, he used to be at Phoenix First Assembly for many years. The simple statement used to be, find a need and fill it. You know, the last year we went to his pastor's school, probably somewhere around 07, I believe. His church had over 200 ministries that were out of his church. And he wasn't the head of none of them. And so what I'm saying, saw people that they saw a need. And instead of trying to wait for the pastor to figure out how to do it, because he's got to figure out how to run a church. He's got to figure this other thing out. They realize, you know, I can get out. All I need is permission and the blessing. And y'all know me. If there's ministry to be done, you got permission and you got blessing. That's all I got to say when it comes to that. It just don't assume that I can get in there with you on that one. Are you seeing what I'm saying? There are things that we can do. You know, I didn't really appreciate baby ministry until I had a pair of them. And man, I'll tell you, you know, because when we first started in the hotel, the baby ministry was rolling around the kids during service in a twin stroller up and down the hallways. And if they were quiet, they can come back into the little meeting room that we met in. And if they start acting up, they would go back into the hallway and roll around until they fell asleep. And we're like, oh my gosh, I never realized we had nothing for the babies. And then we had another baby come in, and so we're like, okay, we got to do something. And so we wound up basically renting a king-size bedroom. And you remember that? And we would bring our DVD player and a little rig to hook up our DVD player to the hotel TVs. Because there was a need there. Well, I'm thankful that I didn't have to do that. You know, there's been a couple times I threatened to do that because I'm like, you know what? If nobody wants to volunteer, I'll do it. Let somebody else come up here and see how they do. Not called to do it. So anyway, all right. So back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. This is the Amplified. But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and the organs in the body, such or each particular one of them, just as He wished and saw fit and with the best adaptation. You know, we said this last week that we have got to go to church by faith. Everyone say by faith. What does that mean? Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing the unseen completion of the written word of God or the spoken word of God. So in other words, faith sees as completed anything that God says is already done. All right? So God told Abraham, you are a father of many nations, when he had no children. And so Abraham, being a man of faith, he saw himself as a father of many nations. He believed God, and the Bible says it was accounted to him as righteousness. I want to show you something. You can look at John chapter 21. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. This is after Jesus' resurrection. You see, Jesus couldn't go back all the way up to heaven and stay there until there was something that he made sure was taken care of. So in John chapter 21, I can get there myself here. All right, there we go. John chapter 21 and verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend to my sheep. Then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. What was Jesus, what was on his mind? His sheep, his church, his body. You and I are on the mind of God. Now, we just read in 1 Corinthians 12 that you are the body of Christ. But there's another place that talks a little bit different about the church. You can write down Revelation chapter 19. This is Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Let me ask you, who is the body of Christ? The church. Let me ask you this, who is the bride of Christ? The church. That's exactly right. So which one is it? Because it seems to be kind of confusing that the church is the body of Christ, but also the bride of Christ is the body of Christ. You see, in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll talk more about this next week, we mention this, that God talks about the church the same way He talks about marriage. Now, what does He say about marriage from the Old Testament to the New? He says, the two shall become one. You see, in calling us the body of Christ, I believe that is Jesus' faith right there. He's seeing us one with Him. You can write down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. God gave fivefold ministries, pastors, teachers, the prophets, apostles, and evangelists to for the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry, maturing the saints through the work of the ministry. Okay, so why did He give apostles fivefold ministry? Why did He give fivefold ministry? To prepare the body to serve as one. You see, when God looks at a marriage, He sees union, one. When God looks at Jesus, He sees us, the church, one. Now, is it that way naturally? Probably not. Just like sometimes in our marriages, we're not one right here either. You know, there's a good picture of union in Genesis chapter 11, where it talks about the Tower of Babel. The Bible says they had all had one mind and one accord. That phrase literally means they all had one speech, they had the same speech and the same thought. Do you know union is when we have the same speech and the same thoughts? Where the Bible says the two shall become one flesh, the phrase one flesh literally means one way of thinking. Because see, the flesh is a way of thinking. That's what the flesh is. The flesh is the soul and the body and how they operate together. Not the spirit per se, but the soul and the body operating together. That's where the flesh is going. As we reprogram our soul to agree with our spirit, which always agrees with the word, you'll change your flesh. You know, people always want to change your conduct before they change your believing system. It doesn't work that way. It will not work that way. And you'll create a bunch of crazy religious folk if you try to do it. It's backwards. It's backwards. You see, the same way that we are growing as married couples, we're growing together and becoming one way of thinking. We as the body of Christ, a local body, we are growing in one way of thinking. See, we have a vision. We've got something that we're called to do in this region. Now, not everybody has the same vision. Now, there are thousands that have the exact same vision because their headquarters told them that's their vision. You know, a lot of denominations, the pastors don't have the opportunity to receive the vision from the Lord because there's a higher up telling them what their vision is. Oh, by the way, let me tell you what your vision is. Now, that's not the way God operates, but that's the way natural organizations operate. But this morning, what I'm saying to you is this, is that God sees us as one. He sees us as the bride of Christ. He sees us already unified. And so all we need to do in our becoming to that place in heaven where that marriage of the Lamb, of the bride takes place, is grow together in union down here. You see, when we act as one, operate as one, That's when we start doing exactly what the body of Christ is here to do. You know, I appreciate kingdom-minded people. You know, we at the Believers Convention this year, you know, there are several people that speak every year, but it's so funny how they'll reference other ministers and ministries in their messages. And the reason why is because if we are hearing from God, we are initially saying the same thing. You see what I'm saying? And so as a body, we should be... Now, some of us, we have to teach it a little bit smaller bites. You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's some churches that you go to, it'll go way over your head. Now, we're trying to break it down real here, you know, here. But at the same time, praise God for those churches. But we're all teaching the same thing. We're just breaking it down a little bit smaller. A little bit smaller pieces. A little bit, you know, maybe we got a little thicker milk than the other guy has. Maybe they got that 0% milk. It's that white water. Y'all thought Whitewater was a fast river. No, Whitewater, I sell at Walmart. It's called skim milk. Can I get an amen? All right, thank you very much for that poor amen. All right, anyway. But what I'm saying this morning is that we've got to see ourselves by faith as the body of Christ. Not a bunch of church members. See ourselves by faith. I am important. I have a place. God has placed me into a place. That's why I tell folks, man, if you let your job or your finances dictate where you go to church, you have just made a major mistake. Now, there are times where a door will open up and it is God's will for you to move to a different locality, different location, but you make sure that is what God wants you to do. Well, you know, I got a job in Timbuktu. That's God telling me because I wasn't getting a job here. Well, wait a minute, if a job's talking to you as if it's God, I'll be real honest with you. I can have a lot of jobs open up for you in other places, and is that God talking to you? Or is this God talking to you? Or is the Spirit of God the one talking to you? You see, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. I'll read next because there's a couple scriptures where a lot of people, Jesus called people to do things, and one guy says, oh, well, I just got married. You know, it's pretty bad whenever God called you to do something and the first thing you say is, oh, Lord, I would do it, but I got married. That would be really bad. You know, when Keisha and I, well, before our relationship was going up to the next level, I told her. I said, now, Keisha, my life, I'm called to ministry. And I knew based on my personality, I knew based on how I was raised and kind of how I was developing that it wasn't going to be the easy, pretty, fun stuff at the first. But it was going to be hardcore. And I love hardcore. Y'all know me. I just, you know, I love being in trenches. I love being dirty. I love dirt in my nails. Yeah, I love that type of ministry. You know, don't make me sit behind a desk. I'd rather be a field general than a staff general. You know what I mean? And so I told her that. I said, when we get together, when we get married, we'll be one. And I'll focus on the marriage and the union, but just FYI, we're in the ministry. And if you don't like it, we can't do this. And so she said yes, and I said yes, and we kept on going, and boom, we're 18 years into it now today, and we're good to go. But listen, if she was not ready for ministry, I could not marry her. I couldn't. Now, if I'd have married her, and then she said, well, you know, I was just kidding. Well, you know what? I was stuck. I was stuck, and I had to believe God and use my faith. But this morning, what I'm saying is we've got to start seeing ourselves in the kingdom by faith. It's not a natural thing. Every time you serve in ministry, it's not a natural thing. And why am I saying this? Because we got to get balanced in our faith. You see, when we give in our giving, we say we're giving it unto God. But if we serve in doing something with our natural bodies, and we say, well, we're doing it so Pastor Michael didn't have to do it. No, that's not it. That's not faith. That's flesh. If we're doing it as unto the, that's faith. That's faith. Let's stand up this morning.